Welcome to the Central Assembly Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from our weekend service. We pray that as you listen, you will encounter the life and love of Jesus and be encouraged to experience what we've found to be the best life possible.
We've got a few things to cover this morning. I'm excited about celebrating. What we decided to do with this Sunday morning was give a little celebration of what's gone on this last year. And to highlight that in a few different ways, because God has been good. And we've had a tremendous year here at the church, and we're excited about what's going to be coming in the next year. You see the graphic up there. It's got arrows going every which direction, but catch this metaphor with me, if you will. There's arrows going this way because we want to look back and make sure we appreciate what happened in 2017, right? But there's arrows going this way because we know that there's good stuff in store for 2018. And so we look back and appreciate, but we also celebrate and get excited about what God's going to do in the coming year. And so that's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk about some things that maybe some goals and some different things that happened this last year. And we're also going to hear some personal testimonies. I thought you guys hear me preach all the time. And I'd like for you to hear the body of Christ preach a little bit today. And so that's going to be a cool thing. We'll do that towards the latter part of the message there. This year we had some goals, of attendance goals, and this is like, oh wow, this is not exactly trumpeting or tooting our own horn, I guess you could say, or bragging. We had goals this year as far as the leadership team of seeing an average attendance at our church for 2017 of 150. That was our goal. Last year we had 118 on a regular Sunday morning, and we were shooting for 150 on an average Sunday morning. And that did not happen. I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat that. It just didn't happen, right? We did see a lot of new faces, a lot of new families, a lot of transition, a lot of things happening. I could probably do a visual count of those who were not really a part of things last year through the room right now. Recognize that's a big difference. There were several who, different seasons of life, some came and went and moved. We've added a bunch of new people to the process, but we've basically, for the year, we didn't quite get 30-plus that we were hoping for, which is a big change, by the way. I don't know if you know that. In church growth circles, to add 30 to 120 is a pretty big leap. That's not normal. And that was our goal, and we wanted to see God do that. But that's not what happened this year for us. By the numbers, this is funny. I'm a numbers kind of guy. By the numbers, we did increase one person per Sunday. This year, so woo! If you clap for that, you just like to clap. I'm just telling you, okay? That's the numbers of it. Now, like I said, I can point to several families that were not regularly here last year that are now a part of things. I know we had a few that went on to be with Jesus. That's ultimately our goal, is to get you all to heaven, just not all at once. Okay, this is no Koreshian thing going on here. Okay, so we want to get you to heaven, but we did have some people that went to be with Jesus. In fact, there's a few people that aren't here today. I just want to stop for a second. Pastor Jerry and Pastor Chad are both away this morning because of deaths in their family, and so I just want you to be aware of that and be praying for them. Pastor Chad was in Florida this week with his grandfather that passed away. And his pappy was a big deal in Chad's life, and so I can't hardly speak to the depth of that. His they lived next door to his grandparents, and so his pap was like dad 2.0 kind of thing, and he loved his pap. And his pap went to be with Jesus this last week. Chad got to talk with him via FaceTime and share some stuff from his heart. And just kind of try to give him a release of some of that. You know how that goes when you're trying to say goodbyes. That's a difficult thing to do. But shortly after Pastor Chad was able to talk with him, Pappy went off to be with Jesus. And so we praise the Lord for that homegoing, but it still hurts for those who are left behind. And so that's where Pastor Chad is this morning. He'll be arriving back in town today. Friday night, similar story, but totally different situation. Pastor Jerry's family was out to dinner with his grandfather, and they were eating. His grandfather, I'll spare the details, his grandfather choked on steak that he was eating there at the table. started choking. They tried Heimlich. They tried compression, CPR, the whole thing right there. And he went blue right there in the restaurant. And with the waitress screaming and the kids all gathered around the dinner table there at the restaurant with his 85-year-old grandfather. Pastor Jerry was trying to resuscitate him and work with him and wasn't able to do so. And so it was traumatic, to say the least. I can't even picture that scene Friday night as their family was out at the restaurant. And so so they're not with us today. He passed away yesterday. They did get him to the hospital. He was needing ventilation. They were breathing for him. It was all machines, and the family made decisions there, and he passed away just a few moments after they took him off the breathing machine. So that was Pastor Jerry's weekend. So I'm a little bit scared for my grandpa, because everybody on staff, Jenna's grandfather just passed away this last month or so. So there's some that have gone on to be with Jesus, and whether those are moments that, like Pastor Chad, kind of we saw this coming with his grandfather, or like Pastor Jerry, where it was just all of a sudden right now, there's been losses that we've felt. And many of you have felt that this year. Many of you have felt the sting of different things that Satan's brought your way. And it's hard to say that Satan brought death. He did. But where, oh, death is your victory? Where, oh, grave is your sting? That's what I have to champion. And I have to realize that that's where I'm trying to get to, is to be with Jesus. And so his greatest knockout punch is actually a complete and utter failure on those of us who are right with Jesus. And so I encourage you to be right with Jesus, first of all, but also understand that those homegoings are things we celebrate. We had several in the congregation, or different ones in the congregation, or family of those that also went to be with the Lord. So there's always an up and down, a back and forth on that. And so it's not all about numbers. Their numbers matter, but they're not the ultimate thing. But each number is a soul, and so that's what we're interested in. So officially, I guess our averages went up one or two, depending on, well, today might hurt it a little bit, so God bless that. Anyway, so that was the year as far as the attendance goals went. We did have hundreds of new faces and welcomed guests at our outreach events. You guys are familiar with our Easter egg hunt and with our Fall Fest. Those events were just knockouts. I mean, just tremendous turnouts for those things. We've amped up a little bit of the ministry side of those. They were just sort of family fun events. And this year, especially with the Fall Fest, we brought them in and did kids ministry right here on the stage. And the place was packed out with a little message about Jesus as the ultimate superhero, and just a great ministry effort. And so we praise God for that, for those hundreds and hundreds, literally hundreds and hundreds of people who are not a part of our church, are on site with us, are sitting in these seats hearing the gospel message. Tremendous. And that's why we do those things. We want to spread that funnel wide open, and hopefully some of those people who come and visit. In fact, last week there was a family here that came to our Fall Fest and hadn't been back until they came for Christmas Eve service and came and sat with us and listened to the battery pack go, for those of you who aren't here, the power went off in the middle of church last week, right about now, actually, and the battery backup on the projector pack, the power pack that's up there in the ceiling that we can't reach. We found out, Mike, we can't reach it with a ladder and a monkey named Mike. Anyway, right up he goes. He's crazy. Anyway, but yeah, did that for the rest of church last week, and so God bless you for enduring that, those of you who stayed with us for that. So adventures continue. But yeah, those crowds, those events that are going on, those Fall Fest events and Easter egg hunt, those are great events where we are reaching out to our city, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our community, and trying to be a blessing and share the love of Jesus Christ. And we had hundreds on site for that. The other plus side of that is that we're mobilizing the body of Christ. We're mobilizing our membership. We're not just coming here to get blessed every Sunday. We're coming here to strategize, to figure out what our gifts are and how we can serve and give those gifts to the Lord and minister to people through those gifts. That's the idea. And so those events where we're mobilizing the body of Christ, whether you're stuffing a hot dog or whether you're registering a family or whatever it is that you were doing, parking cars or whatever you were doing, driving a train, woo-woo, right? Whatever it is you're doing, you're serving that for the community and you're serving as unto the Lord. And so we're mobilizing the body of Christ those ways. We also did some life groups and some things that helped us to mobilize people. We used those gifts and talents. Like our knitting group was making mats for the homeless, right? That's cool. They're not just making their own quilts and blankets for profit, right? They're actually helping other people that way. Our cooking group was baking Christmas goodies for some families in the church that we were blessing. That's cool. Thank you for doing that. That's using your gifts for the glory of God. We enacted a servolution this year. You might have heard that word a few times. Servolution. And what we did is we mobilized the body in what it is that you're passionate about or what opportunities that you see around you, then step in and do something about that instead of saying, man, somebody ought to do something about this place. It's awful. Well, step up and do it, right? Get to it. That's the idea. Mobilizing the body of Christ and serving one another. We served our city and our school systems and other areas that we did. We enacted those processes and events, Servolution throughout the year. We've put together a bunch of construction skills and hard work done in our kids' area, as well as our office area that we'll mention in a moment, saving thousands of dollars in labor. We've paid for some of the labor, and we've used some God-given body of Christ labor. And I tell you what, it's a lot cheaper. The body of Christ labor is a lot cheaper than that union work, okay? I'm just saying. All right. So new members signing up to serve and hosting in youth and kids areas and hosting areas, all those kind of things are happening. Leaders teaching discipleship courses every Sunday and then even on Wednesday, learning and growing together. We've seen a great mobilization of the body of Christ this year, really owning this. This isn't just for the pastors and the preachers to stand up here and do ministry. This is for the body of Christ to do ministry. Give me a big amen there, church. That's what this is all about. Okay. All right. So, in missions this year, we surged ahead with several going on their first missions trip to New York City. Many of them, that was their first time to get out and do something like that. And we worked with some ethnic churches in the city. We worked with constructing some processes in another church there in New York City. It's kind of a big city. It's a big place. And there's a lot of opportunity to share Christ and to do ministry there. But not just there, there's opportunity to do ministry here. And that's kind of one of those mindsets that we wanted to take from a missions trip, is to take and go and do that and say, now we did that there, why don't we do that here? Right? And do that right here in our own backyard with our own city and the people that we live next to. So we've raised over $40,000 this year in missions, nearly $40,000 in missions efforts, from hurricane relief to missionary support, to missions trips, to all those different projects. We praise God for your support that way and your giving. We continued updating our facilities this year with three new offices that were built in this meeting room as we renovated the meeting room. We call it the meeting room if you think it's the choir room. When's the last time you saw a choir? Okay, it's the meeting room. All right, moving on. We meet in there a lot more often than there's a choir, I promise you that. So it's the meeting room. So our kids area is coming to a close. Hopefully this month we're getting that process completed. We are totally refacing and reshaping over 3,000 square foot of kids ministry area. It's a lot of space. It's a lot of projects going on and a lot of people working really hard. From the kids ministry nursery, the check-in area, the classrooms, bathrooms, we were going to just use the bathrooms, right, as they were, like, hey, there's bathrooms down there. And then we go down there and we, like, start to paint, and then it's like, oh, this wall's bad. Oh, okay, well, we got to move this to paint. Oh, that thing's falling off. Okay, well, let's move the floor's rotted. Okay, we got to fix that. Okay, hey, oh, let's move the toilet so that we can work. Oh, the toilets are broke. Okay, so it was like, wow, renovation station, right? So they're getting an overhaul down there, so our kids have restrooms in a secure kids area so that they can do that. But bathrooms, classrooms, check-in, nursery, playrooms, and teaching space, all that's coming together for our kids ministry. We also happened to re-roof nearly all of the property that we own. Got new roofs this year, thanks to a hailstorm. Right? You're like, wow, what an awful thing. It was great. We paid a deductible and got like almost $35,000 worth of roofing. Glory to God, yeah. So our rental properties are re-roofed and our church got half of it done. So if it storms, just kind of get over on this side, because this side is the the side that got redone. This side wasn't bad enough. Anyway, that's fine. So some of those processes are going on. That was the hailstorm back in March. We also look back on the year and realize that God led us deep into his word this year. That's something that we've challenged and we endeavor to do as pastors and as leaders here at the church, is to make sure that we are steadily opening and diving into the word of God and encouraging you to dive into the word of God. Now you're looking at all the graphics up there because that's a bunch. Those are the Sunday sermon series that we covered throughout this year. Those are the things that we spent time on and we invested in and dug deep into. We finished the Gospel of Luke, and we worked on that for about 8 or 9 months from even in 2016. But, you know, I talked about it when we were doing it, but seriously, if we're going to preach the word, is it okay if it comes from the next passage from the week before? It's all right. We dug through the Gospel of Luke, and hopefully when you finish the Gospel of Luke and as sitting here as part of the body, you've gotten a better taste of God's heart for the outsider. Amen. That was the goal. That's what Luke wrote that gospel for, so that the outsider, those on the outside looking in, would know that Jesus died for them as well. We took a few weeks on shift and seeing what God is doing in our lives, recognizing that it might not always look or be what it looks like on the surface. It might be something a little deeper. It might be what seems like a tragedy, hailstorm, but becomes new roofing project. Yay, right? So those things that sometimes don't look like what we think they ought to, we have to shift our perspective and make sure we see what God is doing. So we spent some time on that. Wisdom that works. This summer, we worked through the book of Proverbs together. And we just dug deep into the word. And we had to hear what if I'm going to learn some wisdom about life, I'm probably going to dig into the word and figure out that this book has been solid and sustained for quite some time now. And it has a lot more wisdom than what I gain on my average day. It's learned all the school of hard knocks. They're all recorded in here. It's learned a bunch of things, and it's recorded a lot of things so that you and I can learn and glean from that, and so our life can be the best life possible. It's wisdom that works for our lives. Seeking and understanding God's ways for living the best life possible. And then this fall, we went old school. And we went old school. And thanks, Mike. I appreciate you laughing at that. And everybody's like, what's he doing? Is his mic cutting out? I don't know. We went old school, and we dug into the content of our worship. Not so much worried about the style of our worship, because songs can be really good and really old. And songs can be really old and really bad. There's bad songs written a long time ago as well as bad songs written today, right? Every new song is not a good one. You guys realize that, right? I hope you understand that. What are they going to play on the oldie station in 30 years? I mean, I don't know. Anyway, we'll talk about that later. But anyway, yeah, so the age of the song is not so much the issue. It's the content. What's the song saying? Where's that song written from? What place was that author in when he wrote that song? And what are they trying to express? And so we really dug in to make sure that when we're singing praise and worship to God, we're not just reading Hallmark cards at Jesus and expecting that to be okay. We're expressing from our heart. We're digging in and we're connecting with the experience of that author of that song and just digging deep into the content of our worship and making sure that we're on target there. So, and then we did a series on Mission Creep that we did on Sundays and Wednesdays as well, and we just dive into the process that if we do not stay on task and on target, we can get really off to the side and become something we're not supposed to be. If the church gets really worried about Sunday morning attendance, then we would do things that gear to that, but it doesn't really make disciples. And we can be worried about the numbers more than the discipleship process. If we fill this whole place with people who don't do anything about their relationship with God between Sundays, then we're wasting our time. Right? And so we have to make sure that this church is focused on connecting, growing, and serving that full expression of discipleship and staying on target with the mission that God's given us. In the last few weeks, we spent on God Never Said That. And just diving into some things that oftentimes most of us have accepted as a thought or a phrase or a concept that's just kind of crept in, and it's not really something God said. And so we needed to weigh those things a little bit and make sure that we're challenging tradition and common thought with the power of the true word of God. God help us if we are so love tradition. I understand tradition. I lived in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. If you don't know what tradition is, just go there. Everything's traditional. In fact, I had an idea that I would start a youth event, and I would just call it the 10th annual whatever, and people would just be like, oh, yeah, because they're just so locked in on tradition. They love it. You got your Steelers game, you got to be in that chair at that part of the house, and it messes them up if they play the 3:25 game instead of the 1 o'clock game, whatever. Tradition is like, so I get tradition, but if we do tradition for the sake of tradition, we are missing out. Tradition is pointing us to something that's worthwhile and powerful and effective, then let's do that. But if tradition is just something we've always done, they used to always do slavery too. This might not be a good idea, right? Okay, so it's important that we do things that the Word of God is pointing us towards and make sure that God is actually saying those things. And so we dug into that. So anyway, those are some of the things that we've kind of covered throughout this year. And some of the things that have happened, we were able to add some staff this year. And we praise God for Chad and Jenna Hammondtree. We praise the Lord for them. That is a change agent, adding a team member to the staff that can carry responsibilities, that can isolate on the target that God's put on their heart, and then I can give them those tasks, and then we can spread our resources into those areas, and we can put our attention on more things than once. Man, it's powerful that we can do that with them as the team members that they are, and how God has gifted them and leveraged the gifts that God has given them to be a part of what God's doing here at this church. And so we're excited about them being on the team and the transition that God made, bringing them here to lead our youth and our music ministry and helping us move forward. This all may sound a little bit like a business report, I guess, like a business meeting, sort of. But where it really gets good is to show how it affects people. And I can stand here and spout numbers and tell stories about it all day long, but I think it's really important that we often take some times, and maybe you can do this not just in our service time, but maybe you can do this over a dinner somewhere and literally ask somebody, hey, what's God been doing in your life lately? And share a testimony of what God's done. Or just sharing, you know what? We had this going on, but God showed up and this is how he did it, man. I just wanted to share that with you. Maybe it'll encourage you today. The testimony, the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony is where there's real power. And what Jesus did for us, and then us testifying and verbalizing that fact. And so I want to share a few stories with you, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to have them do that. It's a church goal, and goals are good for the church, but any goal that we reach as a church happens through individuals, happens through people. My pastor in Springfield, when I was on staff, he always did this cheesiest thing, but it stuck with me forever, so I guess it worked. He always said, the heartbeat of God is this, people, 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 people. It's cheesy, right? But it's true. God wants not central to excel. He wants you to excel, and if you excel, then central will excel. That's how that works. And if you are suffering and hurting, then the body of Christ comes to you and is strength and encouragement for you and helps you through that time. And if you are up and at them, then you are helping us do that for those who are hurting and those who are in pain and those who are struggling. Those who are brand new need somebody to show them the way. We've got to have teachers raising up. We've got to have people filling those opportunities. And so the church cannot move ahead unless each person is connecting, growing, and serving. So I've asked a few people to share their thoughts. So I'm going to grab a microphone here and hand that to them. But first of all, I wanted to hear, of course, I'd love to hear from Pastor Chad as well, but he's not here. So I want to hear from Jenna Hammondtree. Come up here, Jenna. Let's give Jenna a hand. And I know this is sort of cheating on like the pastor staff thing because she's sort of pastor staff team, but it's also just kind of, they've had some big transitions in life this year. It's been a big year. It sounds like a pastor's kind of story, but realizing that this year Jenna's work at a bank, that's your first outside of church world life, that's your like secular, I guess you could say, job. She's launched into that, and that's a whole new world. I remember when Brooke did that out of college, and she started working at a bank, and it was her first, she went to a Christian school, And then she had jobs working with godly people, and then all of a sudden she was working at this bank with this bunch of heathen folks, and it was like, whoa, these people are bad people. Yeah, that's called the world, you know. Anyway, but it was a huge transition. It was a change. And Jenna's top-level people. She had national-level scholarships and high-level stuff, academic prowess, just high excellence there. And so God's brought us great people. But that's her story. And early in a marriage, you're leaving and you're moving, 900 miles away from family? What was the drive? 1,000, I'm sorry. Sorry, yeah, 1,000 miles from family. In fact, I don't know if you recognize this, but Pastor Chad and Jenna are 1,000 miles from family both directions. So, yeah, they're so Christmas is different. And this is a big one this year. Chad was away and had to be away, and so Christmas was different. And those are walks and steps of life that we walk through. And we look back at 2017 and say, hey, devil, you did your best shot, but God's still good. Yeah. Right? And so we just celebrate that and recognize, and then we build on that. We say, well, if God can do this, what more could he do with next year, right? Cool. So there's a lot of transitions happening, a lot of good things in people's stories. The next person I'd like to hear from today, I did let these people know ahead of time, by the way. So they weren't just like, and some of you are like, you just relaxed, right? Some of you were like, oh, thank God, I don't have to go there. Who's he going to call? Let's draw out the bucket. Here we go. Anyway, this is the wrong kind of lottery. Okay, anyway. I asked Kim Daniels to come and share with us a little bit. And so, Kim, come on up and give her a hand, Kim and Brian. And I won't steal anything you're saying. I'll just wait and follow. That's hearing from a family who, I guess, a year and a half ago, maybe two summers ago, I guess, got connected with Pastor Jerry via baseball. Families got connected. We ended up having barbecued dinner one night and just kind of hanging out, and then there was some space in between there. Please, church, understand the process. This is not a Philadelphia 76ers speech for the NBA or anything, but trust the process that God is up to. Many times we think our evangelism, our witnessing, our sharing our faith has to instantly result in a prayer of confession of sin and a dedication of my life to Jesus, or I failed. We think it has to be this formula, and I just want you to recognize that you are the near Christian witness to the world around you. You are Jesus with skin on, living life next door to people who need to see that happen, who need to see what living life in Christ looks like and feels like on good days and bad days. They need to see your ups and your downs. Don't just show your shiny side. Don't just show your good side to the world around you. Let them see an authentic following of Jesus in the midst of good things and bad difficulties, pain, heartaches, whatever. God uses that, and God will put you in position so that you can be there for somebody, and maybe a year and a half later, they'll be a part of your church, because you were faithfully in their world just showing them who Jesus is and being a shoulder to cry on or a friend to listen or whatever the case may be. I really was challenged recently with a thought about sharing our faith, that we need to stop talking so much when we share our faith and listen to people. Because we think we have to give them this speech that's going to convince them. And oftentimes, if we would just show concern for the individual, they will talk themselves through the process. If we'll just shut up and let them talk. But most of the time, I want to fill in all the answers, and I'm the worst at it. I want to talk. I have a job talking, right? I want to tell them the answers and fix the problems and da da da. But if I can just stop talking for a second and just listen to people, right? Just let them share what they're going through, and then just be there with them through the process. I can help them through that way. So, 100 different ways of what God can use, recognizing a washing machine, where you're going to plug it in, powerful stories. God's doing work in kids' lives, in adults' lives, and a lot of things that are happening there. It's powerful what's going on, and that's kind of some of the stories that we're hearing at Central this year. Another one that you guys have heard a couple times, he's even preached once on a Wednesday night. Like wow, he was terrified. That was great. I say that both in tandem. It was terrified. It was great. It was a good thing. But Mike Wincy, come on up, Mike. Give Mike a hand.
I ain't preaching. I'll just made these days. So right, so.
God help us all. Here we go. Okay. I'm holding the mic. I'm double mic'd. All right. There's just so much to share and celebrate there. I don't know if being close and seeing somebody go from, I can't do it. I can't be there. I can't miss those games. I can't do that. To going, hey, I made it. And it may seem like small potatoes to you because you don't care about football. That's fine. We've all got something that just arrests our heart, and maybe yours is conveniently not on Sunday, but football is right on Sunday, and that's a challenge for some folks, for some people. But God is able to walk us through that. God is able to bring us through and help us overcome and recognize what's really important. What's really important, and you're talking to a football fan. I understand, man. I used to be, you know, how many of you guys were part of the generation where Sunday night church interrupted the end of every afternoon football game? Anybody there? Oh, Jesus, help me. It hurt my heart so bad. It's like, the game's getting good. Here we go. This is it. This is going to be. Oh, I got to go to church. Okay. Oh, and I was a staffer, right? I'm the youth pastor. I got to be there, you know? I was like, oh, man. I remember one time I went and golf. I like watching golf. I don't know if you guys like watching golf, but sports, I'm an equal opportunity sporter, okay? I even watched some darts last week. Okay. But I was watching golf, and it was the Masters, the year Tiger came from behind and won. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody care? Bill, you're with me? Okay, a couple. Yeah, and so I was at the house. Tiger had just hit the ball over the green on a par three that everyone gets birdies on Sunday. He hit it over the green, and he was like two strokes down, and he was like, he's not going to get a birdie. He's going to be lucky to get par. If he's lucky on this, he's out. It's over. So I saw him hit that shot, and he's like walking down the fairway, and everybody's like, oh, no. And so it was time to go to church, right? So I go, and I get in the car, and I go to church, and I'm like, man, he's not going to win, whatever. And I get to church, and my pastor at that time had a TV in his office. And he was a golf fan, too. And I walk in, and it was on. He wasn't in there, but he had it in there because we were, like, you know, an hour before church. And I look on there, and the crowd is going nuts, and Tiger's in the lead. And I'm like, what did I miss? And I'd lived, like, 2 minutes from church, right? I was like, oh, my gosh. And somehow he got a birdie, and somebody else, he hit it, and it was the one where it hung on the edge and fell in the hole. You guys don't care. Anyway, I feel you. Because there's stuff that has a whole, our passion and our interests, we like these things. But I have to make sure they know their place in my life. They've got to have that priority and they've got to have that understanding. And so praise God for what he's done in there. And your family needs the new mic. A lot better, a lot more than they needed the version that was the 1.0. They need the 2.0, right? They need you. And that's some questions that we want to ask today. And just think, if you could look back and recognize the difference that it made a year ago, how would you have waited so long? Kind of things like that. Man, there's just so much, just so loaded in this. We got one more person to share, or one more couple actually. Nathan and Michaela Elbert, come on up here, guys. Give it up for them. And they're going to share a little bit about what's going on in their life here in 2017. Pass through the fire, not even smell like smoke. Right? I mean, the enemy has wonderful plans for you according to his schedule. They're to steal, kill, and destroy everything in your life. There's a bunch of people in our city who will tonight fill themselves with things that will make them forget all their pain and their problems. They will lose their ability to make decisions because they want to enjoy this evening. I'm going to choose to enjoy it clean and sober and dry. I'll drink, but it ain't going to be alcohol. I'll God help me if I ever started drinking. I like to drink. I just like root beer. I'll just drink root beer. Like, you know, I'll just drink. Give me a refill. Give me a refill. Glug, 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 a sweet tea. God help me if I started drinking. I'd be a raging alcoholic. Anyway, but yeah, there's people that are going to go out and make decisions tonight. They're going to do those things, and they're going to try to enjoy. They're try to have fun. And I want you to recognize, I've got these papers in my hand. Austin and Braxton and a couple guys here, help me out real quick. Pass these out. Get everybody one of these if you would. Here you go, guys. Yeah, just spread out. Take it on. There you go. And you're going to be distracted by the circus that happens right now. But anyway, I want to give you something to process a little bit. Don't read it yet. Don't read it yet. Just don't read it yet. It's secret. I'm kidding. Because I want you to hear what I'm saying, then you can read it all week long. That's fine. But I want you to hear what I'm saying right now. The opportunity that you have in front of you called 2018, looking back at 2017 and 2016 and the years and the experiences that you've had in relationship with God and with His people, if you can apply those lessons, those God saved us from the fire, those I've turned a corner and man, it's so much better this way, the difficulty of giving things to God, and man, if I could have just done this sooner, I wonder how this could be and what I can do with it. Knowing what we know about 2016 and 17 and all the years before, how amazing can this next year be? How powerful, how dynamic. In fact, I watched the movie Men in Black, and you're like, where in the world is he going? I watched the movie Men in Black not too long ago, and Tommy Lee Jones sits down with Will Smith, and he says, this many years ago, they thought that the earth was flat. And this many years ago, they thought this was this, and nobody could ever fly. And now you, of course, he's talking about aliens. Now you think you're on this planet. He says, imagine what you'll know tomorrow. And that just struck me so hard. It's like, man, we think, we learn over the years, and we've learned some things throughout history. And even this year, you've experienced some things that affected and changed you to a degree. And I just want to challenge you with the hope and the optimism to recognize, imagine what you'll know tomorrow. Imagine what you'll know next year. The outcomes, the decisions that you're facing, the choices that you're going to have to make. Mike didn't talk about, he did his first fast this year. And he fasted and prayed about a job opportunity that God had put in front of him that his heart was into. And he was like, man, I just want to make sure this is the right thing. And so he fasts and prays. Well, I'm going to give the short version another time, right? Because people smelling lunch right now, you know, they're like, "Hey, Pastor," you know. But so he fasts and prays about that, and we fasted and prayed with him, and we just agreed that God's going to give him clarity about this. And guess what? His regular job fired him. Like days in the midst of that process, and I was like, and he called me up, and was like, "Dude, Pastor, they let me go," and I was like, "Dude, you got your answer." You're like, well, Pastor, that's mean. No, it's the truth. He had a job, and he's already working the new job. He's rolling in it next week. He trained this week, rolled. He had 2 weeks of leftover from the job before. He did his training with this week. He's not even missing a check. Because the new opportunity that God put on his heart that he wanted to do, he prayed about that. He gave it to God. He trusted the Lord, and God said, here, I'll make the answer easy for you. And handed you the new job. And you're like, wow, that's kind of weird, Pastor. No, it's possible that God works that way. It's possible that God's involved. Is it possible that God cares about you that much? Absolutely. And so I want to challenge you. Imagine what you'll know this time next year. Imagine what you can accomplish. Imagine how much more of the Word of God there will be in you because you're going to read this every day. You're going to find a reading plan on YouVersion and have your phone remind you. Or maybe you just like the paper version. Maybe yours burn up in a fire. I bet God can bring you another one. Their Bibles were in the living room where they like to sit and read, and they toasted up in the fire. So guess what we did? We bought them new Bibles. Because I ain't going to send soldiers into the field without weapons, right? And God has equipped us. And so dig into this and find out what it is God's given you this year. Imagine what you'll know. The outcomes, the answers, the deeper in Christ and His Word, new souls and new friends that will find Him. You don't even know yet who God's going to position you next to that you're going to be able to lead to Christ or even in a relationship with His church or His body. You don't even know yet. We're just looking for those opportunities. Imagine the moments that we're going to have in this next year. More truth to stand up here and praise God for. Apparently, We need to have a longer testimony service like this so more people can get more out and Mike can take a full sermon, right? Anyway, so back to the paper that's in your hand, and we'll dismiss with this. I want you to process this. I want you to pray about it. I want you to wrestle with it. I want you to think about this. Fast over it if you'd like to. That's a great way to really focus your attention. But what goals do you have for 2018? They say if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. So what goals do you have for 2018? And we're spiritual minded here at the church. It's kind of the more important thing about every list, but maybe they're just business goals. Maybe they're just financial goals. If you don't have a goal to save up for something, then you're never going to do it. So set a goal and get something in mind. What are some goals that God's put in your heart? How many souls do you think God could give you this year? Well, I don't know, Pastor. I'm just going to see what happened. Well, what if you had a quota? What if you had 5 to get this year? Well, I'm not saying your membership's revoked. You don't need 5 people. No, I'm just kidding. No. But what if you had something where you were intensely looking an opportunity, seeking, like, maybe, who is that the person? Hey, how you doing? What if God wanted to use you that way? What are the souls that God, what are goals that God has put in your life this year? What are things that are in your heart that you're just, what things have you set up for 2018? Please set some goals. I don't know if you watch my Facebook, but I finished another Bible reading plan this week. I finished a puzzle. Yeah, we finished one of them. Yeah, yeah. We bought 1,000-piece puzzle. Talk about insanity, right? 1,000-piece puzzle. We put it, have a goal. Have an agenda. Do something. Instead of just wandering and doing what seems to happen to you, step into something on purpose, with passion, with energy. Have a goal. Set some goals. What spiritual disciplines do you need to step up to? Are there spiritual disciplines in your life of reading the Word, of fasting, of prayer? Maybe there's some solitude. Maybe you are absolutely others dependent, and God says, I want you to be dependent on me, so just hang out with me for a while this year. Find some windows to be alone and just focus on you and God. Maybe it's a matter of serving or whatever the case is, but spiritual disciplines. Figure out some ideas of how you can employ those into your life so that you can be more like Jesus. Don't stand around complaining, wondering, man, I wish my life was more like Jesus, but you don't ever do the stuff that he did. He got up early in the morning and went and prayed. Why? Because that brings power into your life. That connection to God. Don't say, well, I wish when I prayed, people got healed. Well, Jesus got up and prayed early in the morning so that when he prayed in the afternoon, God was already on the line. Right? So if we don't make some priorities that way, if we don't discipline ourselves the way Jesus did, then we can't expect the results that Jesus got. But if we do those steps of obedience and those disciplines and train ourselves to be like Jesus, then we can walk in the steps that he did. What does my family need from me? And this is big because a lot of us, we need stuff from our family. I do. I need the affirmation of my wife. I need the love of my kids and my family. I need those things. But I'm asking you to take a moment and say, what does my family need from me? What do I need to sacrifice? What do I need to give up for the sake of my family? Near family, distant family, stretched, whatever. Your family different is different than mine. I understand that. But I have to stop and say, if I don't stop and think about my family and what they need from me, then I'll just keep doing things that serve me instead of serving them. So what does your family need from you? Dads, I have a good list for you. I won't start preaching it right now, but your family needs you. You are the image of God the Father to your kids. Step into that. Live that out. Walk in that. There's a bunch of different things. Moms, kids, what does your family need from you? Kids, your parents probably need you to shut up and listen. Come on, nobody amen that? Seriously? You have one job. Honor your parents. That's easy, right? You have one job. Honor your parents. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Do you know the blessing and the love that would just flow through your house if you learned those words? The glory that would just radiantly shine throughout the building, right? Anyway, all right, anyway. What does your family need from you? This applies to all of us. What does your family need from you do this year? How are you going to sacrifice and put them, their needs ahead of your agenda? And then what dream has God put in my heart? What goals, what ideas, what passions has God put in front of me that I'm interested in? And then what is God wanting me to accomplish with that? And then take a step and say, how will I get there? It's nice to have an idea. Oh, I really like this. I wish someday I could. We've all got stuff like that, right? Oh, I wish someday I could. I really wish I'd like to. But if you don't figure out some steps as how to get there, you're just going to be all the way across the room from it the rest of your life. You can have dreams and goals and passions, and if you don't start taking a step or something that direction, you're never going to get there. And so I challenge you, how are you going to get there? Jennifer travels the world all year long, every year, right? 2 weeks. She says she's counting down the days. Oh, Lord, it's so cold. I got to get to the heat, right? And she travels. But you know what? She books those flights well in advance. She has to start taking steps to get there. If you don't take steps to get there, you can't do it. It's not going to happen. I had a goal of 10,000 push-ups last year, and I ended up stretching it to 12,000. I never would have got there unless I got down on the ground and started doing push-ups, right? I can't get there unless I start. So how are you going to get there? Strategize. Pray about it. Think about it. Pastor, this sounds like homework. You bet it is. Because if you don't have any goals for the year and you don't know how you're going to get to the dreams that God's put in your heart and you're not really concerned with what your family needs from you and you don't have any spiritual discipline in your life, then I'm questioning what it is that you're doing calling yourself a follower of Jesus. Right? Come on, church. We own that, right? We're following Jesus. That's going to take an on-purpose, committed decision to do so. And I challenge you, looking at 2016 and 17, oh my goodness, what we've learned. And looking at the opportunity that's in front of us in 2018, can you imagine what he can do this year? Let's pray. Father, I thank you for bringing us to this place. I know you have purposes and plans for each of us. Lord, I know you pulled that family from a fire because you have purposes and plans for them. And Satan saw them turning their life around and giving their lives to you. And he wanted to put an end to that. But you see it as a beginning and a fresh start. And we praise you for that on their behalf. And we also recognize you have the same type of plans and purposes for each of us. You have goals and dreams in mind for us that you want to see us accomplish like every good father does. We want to see you. You want to see us fulfilled. You want to see us thriving, not just getting by, but excelling, but growing and learning and developing. God, you want to use us for your glory. You want to see your glory made manifest through our lives. Your kingdom coming through us. Your will being done through us. So God, I pray that we would take this week and use some prayer and fasting and just center in on what are the goals that you put in my heart? What are the dreams and passions you've given me? What does my family need from me? God, what disciplines have I avoided because I'm just busy or I'm just distracted or I've got other priority things going on? God, help me to prioritize you. And then I'll be able to see what it is that you can accomplish. If I do what I can do, I only get those results. But if I pray and I seek you, God, I can see what you can do. And it's far greater than we could ask or think or even imagine. God, anoint this year. We give it to you. Thank you for 2017. But Lord, our hopes are high for 2018. Lead us and we will follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for being with us today. We start.
Pastor Steve invites you to respond to what you've just heard by putting it into action today. Thanks for listening.